the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's great to have Dave Hannigan in the studio with us. Dave, of course, is Ireland's leading expert on Muhammad Ali. He's done a number of books and he's updated the book where it all started, I think, from 2002, The Big Fight. Dave Hannigan, you're very welcome.
It's great to be here, Matt. I'm Ireland's self-styled, self-described expert on Muhammad Ali. Thank you.
The Big Fight, when Ali conquered Ireland. This is a great story. This actually, I think, showing my age, is the first fight I can remember. Such was the fuss at the time back in 1972. I would have been six. And Cathal O'Shannon interviewed him on the television and there was a fight in Croke Park. What brought you to retelling the story?
What brought me to retelling? I told the story in a book 23 years ago. My research was primitive then. I spent the last 20 years hearing stories that I missed out on and yarns that I was told, most of which turned out to be true. So I thought it was actually ripe for an update with all of the new improved stuff. Like, for instance, when I first did this, I had to go to a guy's archive in New York to get a tape of the fight in 2001. This guy had like 5,000 fights in a house in New York City, whereas now at the fights on YouTube, you can look at it on YouTube, you know, the Cathal O'Shannon interviews on YouTube. When I wrote the first book, YouTube didn't even exist. If you go on YouTube, you'll see Buddy Sugru, the main character, apart from Ali in this book, this Kerry man, you can see
him. He was the promoter, wasn't he?
He's the promoter, circus strong man, 5'7", you know, pint-sized kind of barrel-chested man. You can see him swinging around Noel Cantwell on a weight in a bar in London and doing all sorts of other shenanigans.
So is that Noel Cantwell, the famous Cork man who played for Manchester United?
Yes, Noel Cantwell and Jack Doyle. And he's, you know, Buddy Sugru really was the reason I wanted to retell the book. I didn't do justice to the story of this man from Killorglin, who in a world of primitive communications in 1972 pulled off this remarkable feat of promotion, bringing the most famous athlete on earth to Dublin to fight. And Ali, remember, was still in his prime. Like, Ali had, you know, the biggest fights of his career were yet to come.
Yeah, just remind us where he was in his career then, because I've just been watching the David Frost documentary series. I don't know if you've seen it. And interviews with Ali feature prominently in that. And they're quite extraordinary to watch because Ali vacillates between this being incredibly eloquent, generous interviewee and then been quite surly at times and indeed actually quite racist in his comments against white people. So given that that wasn't long after he had refused to fight in Vietnam, when he came to Dublin in 1972, where was he at in his career?
Boxing-wise, he had just lost to Fraser. Fraser was refusing to fight him. He had come back from his hiatus, government-enforced hiatus. Fraser had refused to fight or was refusing to give him a rematch, having beaten him once. And he was basically needing to fight every 4 to 6 weeks to make money. Dublin fit into the itinerary of that because he was guaranteed £100,000 to come to Dublin. Some say £300,000, but I think it's more like £100,000. But about the racism thing, it's very, very interesting because Ireland in 1972 was one of the whitest countries in Europe. When Ali got here, he was shocked at how white it was and in fact calls up his promoter after his first night in Dublin and says, like, and he didn't use this word. He used a different word, but he basically says, where are all the black people in this town? But he was quite racist at the time or quite anti-white. And Cathal O'Shannon challenges him on that in his interview. But people who are around Ali, like Bud Schulberg, the famous On the Waterfront screenwriter, Pete Hamill, the New York City journalist, and Jose Torres, the former light heavyweight champion of the world, they all told me when I met them for the first book, they all told me that Dublin affected him because he was in this incredibly white city. And one of them, I think it was Hamill, said the only place he'd ever seen Ali get a reception like the one he got in Dublin was in Chicago and in Atlanta. And those are very, you know, very, very African-American cities in America. And he thought the adulation that Ali got, he couldn't keep going on with the anti-white thing when he'd been to this whitest city in Europe and been absolutely revered and adored.
He even got to meet Jack Lynch, or Taoiseach at the time, didn't he, inside in government buildings?
Yes, that was the only occasion when he met a sportsman who was even greater than himself.
Good man, Dave. A good Cork man coming out in you.
Obviously, I'm legally obliged to say that when two Cork men are in the same room. But he did. Like, this is the thing about Ali that makes him different, say, like from Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan or other tremendous athletes, you know, Lionel Messi, whatever. He goes to Dáil Éireann and just causes complete havoc for an afternoon. For no great reason, just because he was invited. Jack Lynch became the first Western head of state to bring Ali in for an audience. But that wasn't enough for Ali. Like, he goes into the Dáil canteen and has two steaks. He phones a guy's wife from the Dáil canteen on behalf of the guy to tell her why her husband's going to be late. He walks into the Dáil, witnesses a debate. I think it was about fluoride in the water. Timothy Chubb O'Connor, a Kerry TD, a kind of a Jackie Healy Ray of the time, I think. He was kind of manhandling him around the place. And it really was, you know, he had this wonderful curiosity and he would just kind of find mischief wherever he could find it. And, you know, an afternoon in the Dáil in 1972 where Ali was at loose, I think, you know, I would have loved to have been there because it just sounded like havoc.
How long did he stay in Ireland?
He was there for a week and two days. He got out of Ireland pretty fast at the end. After the fight, he left the next morning. He was, I think, the bloom, you know, if you trace in the book, I cover this. By the sixth or seventh day, he's kind of like ready. He's ready to leave. He also got a cold, so he wasn't feeling great. But, you know, again, in the course of that time, like he, apart from walking down O'Connell Street and having people chanting Ali after him, he goes to a Stuart's Hospital in Palmerston. He goes to a fun fair out there and plays mini golf and visits the kids in the hospital. He donates money to St. Raffo's School for the Mentally Handicapped. In Selbridge, in Kildare. You know, he really put himself about. He would go walking in the Dublin Mountains, as Fintan O'Toole told a great story in his memoir about his father, Sammy, working on a Dublin bus in the Wicklow Mountains and coming upon Ali jogging along with his entourage and stopping and offering him a ride on the bus.
The fight itself, if I remember correctly, watching it, it was live on television, I think on RTE, but it didn't get the type of crowd you would have expected, did it?
No, the fight was a kind of a financial bust. And one of the theories was Ali was so prevalent around Dublin that everyone was like, we've seen him. We've seen him. We got up close. We don't really need to pay into the fight. The tickets might have been overpriced as well. But the most famous thing about the fight is when the Dubliners climbed into the ring to play the national anthem, one of Al Blue Lewis's handlers said to me, it was like once they started the anthem, that was the signal. And it was like in the Westerns when the Native Americans would come over the hill in the Westerns, except it was a load of dubs coming over Hill 16. They'd all climbed in for nothing. They climbed over the wall. So there actually was quite a crowd at the end, but the problem was thousands of them had paid in for nothing. And there was a couple of guards went to try to stop this tide of Dubliners sweeping down Hill 16. And then they just turned back and walked away and just thought, you know, we're not going to stem this tide. So it was a lot of people got in there free that night.
So what was the fight like, given that Ali had a cold? I mean, Al Blue Lewis, he was a controversial character in his own right, wasn't he?
Yeah, Al Blue Lewis was convicted of manslaughter when he was young and should have been in jail, actually, in 1872. But he saved the lives of some prison officers in a prison riot, got released early, and was a decent fighter with a dangerous punch who never really got the breaks. He was from Detroit, from the wrong side of the tracks. A lovely man. I mean, he's dead now, but I met him in Detroit many moons ago and he told me his story.
What did he remember of his trip to Dublin? Because if Ali was getting all this adulation as he walked around, what about the other black man who was fighting Ali in town at the time?
Well, it's funny because one of the journalists in Dublin said, how do you feel like that you're being chauffeured around by Buddy Sugru's friend who owns a news agent in a van? and Ali has a fleet of cars. But Blue Lewis had been a sparring partner of Ali. Dublin was the greatest week of his life because it was a week when he was in the limelight. He was treated fantastically. He'd never travelled outside America. He'd been to Argentina. He'd never been to Europe. When he was in Dublin, like, he saw things he'd never seen before, like cows. You remember talking to me about cows and the udders that he saw on the Irish cows. And that was something that stuck with him. He couldn't believe how bright it was late in the evening in Dublin in the summer. But he talked, like I met him, I don't know what, he was in his 60s. And I met him in his doctor's office, actually, in 8 Mile in Detroit, a pretty rough part of Detroit, it must be said. And he basically said, like, that week was everything to him. Like, that was the greatest week of his career. He wasn't going to win the fight. He was dangerous, but Ali was a cut above him.
And yet the fight went on a long time, didn't it?
It did, 11 rounds, because Ali was not. If they had been anywhere else, Angelo Dundee said they probably would, you know, if the fight had been in America, they would have postponed the fight. But they wanted the money. They wanted to get out of there with the money. And they knew that Ali would be able to take care of him.
Did you get a chance ever to meet Ali and talk to him?
No. This was... Ali was still talking a little bit around 2001, 2002. And the figure I was quoted for an audience with Ali then was many times what I was getting paid to write the book. So no, I never did. I went to his daughter's fight. Layla Ali fought Jackie Fraser in a casino in upstate New York. And I went to see them fight in the hope that he might turn up there. And he didn't. Joe Fraser turned up that night, but Ali didn't. But that was the closest I came, really, because I, you know, it was prohibitive for me to pay any kind of money to see him or to talk to him.
After he had the fight in Dublin, were his greatest days after that in some respects?
Yeah, or the Thriller in Manila and the Rumble in the Jungle, all of that was ahead of him, you know? I mean, the fights that we really remember him for, all of that was down the line. And that's why I think, like, Sugru, who I really think is the kind of the star of the book, like, he, for him to bring Ali to Dublin when there was still life left in Ali. It wasn't the end of years Ali, who was a sad, kind of pathetic figure. This was Ali kind of still, I mean, he was still a physical specimen. You see from the cover of the book, like Ali standing in the Irish countryside, he's like an Adonis, you know?
It is a fantastic photograph. Sugru, is he still alive? Butty
no.
Sugru.
Butty Sugru, and I just, you know, want to mention a couple of things. Butty Sugru was once supported by David Bowie. At a concert in Dublin. Yeah, Mick Jagger had to deny that he bought an island off the coast of Ireland, off Butty Sugru. There's tremendous story of Butty appearing on a Jimmy Savile evening TV show in the 70s with Gary Glitter as the other guest.
What a combination.
There's a gruesome twosome from that decade. And Gary Glitter's there in like full 70s silver lamé kind of outfit. And Butty's there in a pair of Farah slacks and a vest, showing off his incredible muscles. And I think he lifts his wife up. He lifts his wife up for the camera, showing, because that was his thing. Like, some of your older listeners will remember, Butty was a circus strongman with Duffy's in the 50s and 60s, touring the small towns of Ireland, doing all these feats of strength, like towing tractors covered with people with his teeth. He allegedly once towed a bus across O'Connell Bridge with his team. He's like a character you couldn't make up, really, you know.
Did he lose a lot of money on the whole thing?
He did. Well, there's a couple of stories. The manager of the bank in London who guaranteed the thing reportedly died of a heart attack the week of the fight. But then other people that were involved in the promotion told me that Butty was staying in a flat in Sean McDermott Street. You know, most of the people were staying in the Gresham. Ali was staying in Opperman's Hotel in Kiltearnan in South Dublin. But Butty was staying in his buddy's flat in Sean McDermott Street, where he was paying money that he owed out of a black bag days after the fight. So, like, lots of the smaller people involved in the promotion. And everybody seems to have got paid, but the Williams and Glynn Bank in London took a bath on the whole enterprise.
It sounds like you've had great fun going back to re-research this and add to it and reshape the book.
Absolutely, because, you know, Ali, wherever Ali went at that time in his career, he just kind of lit up the place and, you know, caused kind of frenzies. And there's stuff here where one minute he's in the Dublin Mountains having a cup of tea and a slice of cake in an old woman's house. The next he's in a theatre with John Huston and John Borman. John Huston was like a fanboy around him who'd come up from Galway to show Ali his new film, and Ali fell asleep halfway through the film. It was his great underrated boxing film, Fat City, but Ali dozed off halfway through the film. And John Borman talked later about like how embarrassing it must have been for Huston, the great director, you know.
It's great stuff. The big fight when Ali conquered Ireland. Dave Hannigan, thank you very much for whetting the appetite for a great read.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.